on the tee, Jack Nicklaus.
This is the minute that millions around the world have waited for.
We will allow you to enjoy all of this. They are dancing in the pubs of Dublin. Harrington with an ace.
And we have a shining star at sunset. Rory continues his run to greatness.
The return to glory.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Bogeyman Golf Podcast, hosted by Michael and Johnny. I'm here with the mangy dog himself, in his kitchen, in his living room. The sides of the heads have been shaved. He's got a filthy mullet on him. Michael Stiles, or Michael Knapp, that's what I'm going to call you. How you doing?
I'm great. Yeah, very good. Interesting time to be doing it. Normally we do it early on, but with the weather delay, and I'm not talking about the snow we had here.
God, the weather was, oh my God.
Oh, shambles. Yeah, we decided to push it on to today to see, so we actually had a winner to talk about.
Yeah, so basically we were going to do it yesterday or earlier on today, but there wasn't a winner yet from the States. And because Shane was in the mix, we were like, okay, hopefully he'll win this now. Hopefully we'll have a really good story to talk about. And then Shane just stalled. And like, I think that's the big talking point is like, he went in there, final group, even with Erfan Roy making a run, even with other guys kind of looking like they're going to make a run. Obviously Min Woo to this morning, or yeah, this morning in the US time, today our time, Shane still had the advantage. Like, he was the last person out. He knew what he needed to do, whether it was shoot 2-3 under. Now in the end, like, to be fair to Johan Ekeroth, he went off and played very, very well and just kind of not ran away with it, but
he
went deep.
Yeah, he won the tournament. He no one handed it to him. Like, he did take it off.
But for me, this, like, Shane should have won this. He was the biggest name in there. He's got form at this event. So for context,
loves
this place.
And like,
been done dirty. He's been done really hard in 2022 in particular. But he really likes this place. He lives around, like, he only lives like half an hour from the course.
But even Rory was asked, you know, about it, and he was like, "No, Shane loves this place."
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know. Like, I know it's kind of linksy, kind of.
No, I think like Shane's used to. I think if you look at the way Shane used to play when he first came out, he was your classic like Irish link style golfer. Had low piercing ball flight. It's to the point where like when he won the Open, everyone's like, "Of course he won the Open." Like, that's the way he plays. But over the last 5 or 6 years, even before winning the Open in 2019. He'd been working a lot on creating like a higher ball flight
for golf in America.
Yeah, for golf, exactly. And I think this is obviously a big part of, or a big place of maybe where he worked. I also think
perfecting those things. Yeah, so okay,
exactly. Okay. I also think like that's not just anecdotal. I remember watching Shane a lot and talking to a goofy guys kind of in the Irish circuit. They were like, "Shane's never going to win it at Augusta. He doesn't have the ball flight for it because Augusta is very much like drop and stop. You have to come onto greens from elevation because those greens are just mad." Yeah. And like, just the way that those fairways are, they're so undulating. And then
they're above your feet, below your feet.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And you don't have a flat line. And then I think if you just look at his last results over the last 5 or 6 years, he's been in the hunt for a good few of the last 4. Masters Championships. Remember that he's in the final group. He was the year he was playing with Tiger. He was playing with Tiger.
Yeah.
And then Tiger went like just ballistic. And Shane had a chance there, I think it was in like 12 or 13, to put a one in close. And again, that was it. Low ball flight. Skipped through the green, went into the water at the back of the green. I think it was on like 14, 15 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been working a lot on higher ball flights and kind of like, we'll call it American golf.
Yeah, for
and so yeah. I think him playing over here in Palm Beach from close to where he lives is where he's done a lot of his practice. But he loves this place. Like 2021, he finished tied 36th. That's fine. 2022 came second. Then last year in 2023, he came tied for 5th again. Eric Cole went off and did like amazing things last year to win the tournament. But this is a place that Shane, like, for me now, he should have won that. He was the biggest name in there. He should have been the guy who's got the, like, he's out of everyone that's kind of in the hunt, him, Erfan Roy, Min Woo, and Ekeroth, He's won the most. He's won on different types of golf courses. He should have been able to go.
He's more experienced.
This is how we do it. We got to go and win.
Yeah, he's more experienced in majors. Does
and he looked timid to me, and particularly yesterday. Like, so we were talking about this yesterday when we were both watching it live. He wasn't attacking pins. He was giving himself like 30, 40 foot putts. And you're like, unless you're having like a lifetime day or like, you know, best day of your life with the putter, you're never going to make those putts. Yeah. You're just not going to make those. And he didn't. So,
does it worry you that he didn't go and win and he was tentative? Or do you think it's good signs that he was in the mix? Like, do you think it gives him confidence, you know, to next week going in with the Palmer, moving into the bigger stuff? Or does it worry you that he didn't quite get it done?
It's a bit of both. So in my day job, I do a lot of video production, and I do a lot of video production with Golf Ireland. And so I know that Robbie Cannon, who is Shane's strength and condition coach, is over there with him this week. And I know that Neil Manship, Shane's coach, is over there with him this week. So they're definitely working on something, and they have been working on something for a while. That being said, he's played 4 PGA Tour events this year. He's made 3 cuts. This is his best results by far, finishing tied for 4th. All the rest of them were tied like 60th, sometimes 30th. And he missed 1 cut. He has been trying to get into the signature events. The only reason he's in the Arnold Palmer this week is because he got invited. He got an exemption. He didn't qualify. Okay. So like, he clearly isn't performing. This is a positive sign towards performance. The argument could be made that if he had won, it actually might have been a false positive.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So let's put a positive spin on it and say we're working the right way. But I mean, like, it was a frustrating day for him. Like, he went into it with the lead 13 under, and just like after the first 5 holes, people probably know if they watched it, there was a rain delay, and then he was one over at that point as well. So it's not like you're going into it like with momentum. Maybe that's the good thing though. I don't know, like when you're in that place when you're like, okay, we have to have a rain delay because I wasn't firing on all cylinders. You're kind of expecting him to kind of come out of the blocks then this morning. He didn't do that. He didn't make a birdie at all on the front nine. So that for me is just like, oh, when everyone's making a run, when you know people are in the hunt,
and when there's birdies to be made on the front nine,
like you have to go for it, especially when like people talk about the bear trap and how tough that stretch of holes are. Like, he actually played those very well. I mean, he, you know, found the water on 11, and then on 15 he just completely lost his mind, which,
yeah,
I mean, I actually really like. Because it shows he cares. Like, there's a really funny, I mean, funny, like, in hindsight now for us, not so funny for him, video of him going into the water. You go into the water on 15 and then taking the drop and then just, like, slamming his club into the ground. And then, like, he's so angry and frustrated. Like, he goes to kick the club and misses the club. And you're just like, oh, God, it's not a good look. It's just not a good look. But, look, he looks like, it shows he cares. The signs of life from Shane. It's the best results of the year. Tied for 4th. Shane loves the Masters, right? Like, he loves the Masters. For me, he could be the big Irish contender. Because, like, we're not seeing much from Rory this week. Like, he had a solid week.
Yeah.
But that's it with Rory. I don't feel like we're going into this with enough excitement around Rory and his game. Whereas Shane could do something special. And Shane, for me, has those moments where he could do something amazing.
He's very, yeah.
More so than Rory. Rory can do really impressive things.
All the time. Yeah, and sit at a 7, 8 out of 10.
For sure.
Where Shane can be zeros, 1 and 2s, and then a 10 out of 10.
Like, absolutely.
Like you know, even when you watch back on Sky and you watch back his win at Portrush, and like, you watch back all that, like, some of the shots he hit were
ridiculous.
Unbelievable. Yeah. The one up when he was up in the bank, I think he hits an 8 iron from up in the bank. Like, world class.
Yeah, and so as you kind of look at the results from Shane, you're like, okay, like, he's kind of faltering or off to a slow start. Like I said, you'd nearly back Shane to give like a 10 out of 10 or 11 out of 10 performance one of the days at the Masters to do something special and put his name in there, more so than you would Rory to have like for 8 out of 10 days.
Yeah.
You know? But look, he didn't win. Shane has this habit of doing like a win every 3 years. This is his year on the PGA Tour to do that, if you're good to go off that kind of historical data that he has. I'd like him to win more regularly. He's like, Shane's fucking great. He's great to watch. And when he's in flying form, he's just so, so enjoyable to watch. And you know, when he's in the hunt, it is always entertaining, because if he's not playing well, he'd be frustrated and he'd be angry and he'd be relatable from that side. But if he's playing well and like he's chipping in and he's making
smiling and he's going nuts.
He's a great watch either way.
Do you know what? He's a terrible watch for the commentators. The American commentators and Shane is horrendous.
It's lazy.
The amount of times, great hands for a big man. I wonder will he have a pint again? Like, okay, yeah, great. He's Irish. He likes pint. Great. You know, oh yeah, he always plays chipping games with Patrick County. Yeah, okay, we get it. Yeah, he's got a great short games class. Like, okay. Yeah. It's lazy, you know.
They call him a big man, but like Shane's lost weight. He's definitely slimmed down.
And I also think like I've been in the same room as him, and he's not as big as you think he is.
No, not
he's nowhere near. Like no way. Like on TV, he looks.
I'd look massive next to Shane.
But like, on TV, he looks like a giant of a man, 6'8". Like he looks huge. Remember that? You wouldn't really double take. Like you wouldn't double look at him.
No.
If he was walking the street, he's not that big. It's. No. You know the camera adds 10 pounds sort of thing as well, and you get for whatever reason with Shane. It adds way more than that.
I remember I heard a really funny story. It was the Harbortown just after the Masters last year, right? So Shane's doing media. And like Harbortown is a bit of a holiday. Basically, a lot of the wives and families of everyone playing the Masters
flies over
to the States, fly over to Augusta. They play, they do the Masters. Family's all there because they obviously have like the par 3 contest, the kids stuff, all that shit. So then what a lot of PGA Tour players do is they then turn the RBC Heritage the next week in Harbortown into like a bit of a summer early holiday vacation. Bit of a jolly. And Shane was doing media chatting about it. And like apparently there's like a really famous like ice cream sundae type of thing that they have at Harbortown all the time. I don't know. Someone's chatting to Shane. He's talking about his diet. And they're like, oh, will you have one of the sundaes? And he goes, man, will I fuck? I put on 8 pounds looking at ice cream. It's just like, it's such a good answer. It's just also like, an Irish guy would say that.
I can relate to that massively. Look at a Domino's, like, and I put on weight.
Shane's obviously been working on this for a long time, because previously Shane lost weight, and he spoke about this before. It's kind of when he nearly won his first major, like it was the US Open.
US Open, yeah.
He went through like losing a lot of weight. And then Robbie Cann's actually a great chat about this, and we should actually have him on again to talk about this. His body composition position then changes, so how he swings and where he gets his hands to a different.
It affected
points.
Him a lot,
big
like
time.
His whole swing changed. Yeah, yeah, and it was kind of like put the weight back on quickly because your hands are in a completely different position. Your shoulders, like everything's wrong. Nearly.
For sure. So obviously the work that he's been doing with Robbie and Neil now is probably like, okay, let's get into like maybe a more functional health and fitness place, because he's definitely lost weight.
Yeah, but like, he
works out so much. And like, have you seen that video of Keane Healy before the like a Les Ferrari? Shane's flexibility is outrageous. Like he doesn't look it, but Shane is an elite athlete.
Oh yeah, I don't think even like you watch those ads, I don't think you can get to any top of any sport anymore without grafting in some.
Yeah, of course. Like
the days of just being on the beer and just going to play is long gone from even the golf game. And it's obviously hard to look at Shane because, as you said, he doesn't look as athletic.
Yeah, for sure. But he clearly is.
I was really gutted he didn't win though, because I also think with Shane, like a. You know, in the back of his mind as well, that what a win does, it just secures everything. It secures the next 2 years. It, you know,
yeah, yeah.
And I think he's definitely a guy from time to time lets those worries in. I think he's a guy who would. Jeez, it's been a while, and I'm getting this invite, and I need to, you know, you know. He seems to be. I think he's a guy that would take that to heart and really kind of let it.
He'd feel sit, the pressure. Yeah.
Feel the pressure a little bit. So big I think time. I'd loved. I think it's like what it would be great is if he won. You know, next week or leading up into the Masters, and then as you said, hit that Masters with a run.
Yeah, absolutely.
With that worry out, where he's kind of like, okay, we're good.
Hmm. And I'm sure the PGA Tour were also like, oh, please, Shane, win. Because it's now been, what, 4 or 5 weeks of, like, no offense to your man Ekro, but, like, I just didn't care. But having Eric Van Rooy and Amin Woo Lee making a run when Shane kind of stalled, I was like, all right, I can get behind this. Let's go.
Yeah, I wonder
if Min Woo wins, that's brilliant. Like, it's a great, like, let him cook story. Yeah. Like, it's just a good social media story.
Van Rooyen,
it'd be his first win since his friend died. And the last time we saw him, it was all that stuff. Ekro was just like, another disappointing winner. And like, Jake Knapp was fine.
No, I disagree with you. Jake Knapp's class. I like Jake Knapp. I think he has.
He was good because he played well this week again.
He
so
played
it showed,
so good.
It showed it's not just like, he just got lucky last week.
Okay, but like his swing is absolutely incredible. The tempo in his swing, it's like he's slapping the ball and he's not even swinging that fast and it's going a mile. That's why, like, one of the reasons I got the mullet. I'm in the Jake Knapp camp, you know? Can we talk about Van Rooyen's front nine Sunday?
Yeah, go ahead.
Like,
go far away.
I don't think I've ever watched a live round of golf where I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah, it's pretty mad, wasn't it?
Like, it was PlayStation Golf. Bang, bang, bang. Like, he was putting the ball exactly where he wanted every single time. It was absolutely incredible. And it's like,
for people that haven't seen it, he was 7 under through 9 holes, 8 under through 10. Like, that's at one point people were probably like, there's a 59 watch going on here.
Yeah, like,
you can't do
it. I was just looking at this score. It was just outrageous. And it was coming to the point where, like, he can't make another one, can he? Oh, he's made another birdie. Oh, 3 in a row, cool. 4 in a row, okay. Surely he couldn't do 5. Oh, he's done 5. Like, it was just from watching TV, it was very, very enjoyable watching him. Not to mention, he has probably maybe the greatest tash in golf.
Yeah, yeah. Are you going to grow a mustache now? You're going to have the mullet and the mustache.
A mullet and mustache. I don't know.
Oh my god, that'd be so funny. I think you should do it.
I don't think I could.
Fully endorse that decision.
I don't think I could bring my kids to a playground if I have a mustache and a mullet. I might get chased out of there.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You're not hanging around playgrounds like I am with a 4-year-old, so, you know, you might be able to get away with it.
He would have been a great winner. It would have been nice to have him win, but again, just to cap it off for me, it was another bad week for the PGA Tour, to be honest, but Shane should have won that. He should have been the saviour of the PGA Tour for the week.
I think, like, he was just a bit boring, wasn't he, though?
Shane?
No.
Oh, Ekrot.
Yeah, just...
There's nothing to him.
Did you see his interview after he won?
With the water and stuff like that in the background.
Yeah. So all over his shoulder is his missus' makeup. See, obviously Ben gave her a big hug because he's wearing a white top and, like, all over his shoulders, all this, like, fake tanny blusher makeup. And looking at
you
it,
can tell you're a single man.
But it was like looking at a 16-year-old in Wes when he comes outside and he's standing outside with the lights on and the girl's been wearing their mum's fake tan and blusher and he was just covered in it. I was just like, surely. Like, number one, you're wearing white and you're going to be, like, in the hunt, you might be interviewed. But surely his missus knows not to be hugging when she's got a face full of makeup. Like, oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah, she's got to know what the situation is.
You gotta
practice that.
Yeah.
Look, I
wouldn't see
I
DJ's missus doing it. She knows exactly what she's doing when DJ goes and DJ was winning on the PGA Tour.
Paulina wouldn't let DJ ruin her makeup. That's exactly what it is. Her priorities wouldn't be don't get it all over
and
the DJ for winning. Yeah. She's just like, don't you ruin my makeup. You know how long this took.
And color coordinated her outfit to what was going on.
I do appreciate that she does that.
Yeah.
That she has a little Sunday outfit. Yeah. I think that's good. Do you remember when he won the Masters and she was in that all green tracksuit?
Yeah.
I was like, that's pretty sick.
Who's Brooks's missus? I'd say she'd be the same. She'd be very calculating what she's
a lunatic. Jenna Sims.
Yeah, but she'd
she's properly a lunatic.
She'd be calculating what she wore. And
yeah. All right, now that we're talking about two Liv players, let's get into it. Liv Jetta. I watched this. I watched two of the rounds, final round and round two. My biggest takeaway is that the team stuff was really good. I thought it was really good. My Stingers, they were in there. They were like five ahead going into the final round. And then, just through no fault of their own, they just kind of, they had a good day. I think as a team, they shot like 12 under. Mm. But just like Bryson DeChambeau's Crushers, they shot like 20 under, 28 under. Because it's all four players' scores count.
Yeah.
And they all just happened to play unbelievably well. Yeah. So that was a pity. But I thought the team stuff was really good. I kind of got behind that a good bit.
I disagree.
Okay, cool.
Don't like That's the team good. Stuff.
Why? Why? Some people clearly care about it. Some do.
Yeah, it was like there's too much going on, and I don't want to cut to GMAC, you know, because he's getting a birdie when he's actually, you know, 30th in the field, but he gets a birdie for the team stuff. Like, I wanted to watch the lads who are in the hunt for it.
But do you not think that with golf the way it is, that like the guy is currently, so Joaquin Neiman in the hunt, let's say he's just hit his tee shot, right? Yep. So he's walking from his tee shot to the fairway. Whilst we were waiting for them, why not go to GMAC, who has a chance to put his Smash Golf Club team into second place? Because, I mean, like, this is, you know, it means something for, like, I guess people who are gambling on it. But, like, that's the only way that you're going to get people to care about the team thing. I really kind of like the idea that, like, GMAC on the final day, on, like, round four, or, like, anyone could have, like, the best day of the week,
yeah,
and save the tournament for the team and win the team event, or equally like have a horrendous day and like lose it for their team. I think that would be cool. Yeah, especially if you cover that, like, could you imagine if some, like, your team was going into the lead in the final day, and then, like, let's say Louis was hazing for Stingers and just has like a horrendous day, shoots like four over for the day and just throws the tournament away for their team. I think that'd be great TV to watch.
No, I don't think you get enough drama on either one, because you're chopping and changing.
Okay.
You don't buy it, you want to it. And I think, I was thinking this because the DP World Tour wasn't on Sky, so to be honest, I just watched Liv because it was on. Watched it on YouTube. It's great. Like,
yeah.
I also think the beauty of it is YouTube is so big with young, like,
yeah,
so kids and teenagers, like, where they don't want to watch really TV. There's no ads. It's YouTube. It pops up.
Yeah,
all the kind of celebrities that even my son likes are YouTube people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he gets a kick when he sees our YouTube stuff on YouTube.
And I was like, brutal as our YouTube videos.
Yeah,
are.
Yeah, and you know, I think that was great. But what about it is, I think I understand where they're coming from with the shotgun start.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'd love is, I don't know how it's going to work, but if you did the shotgun start for the first two, and then you let the last four or five groups go out later on the last day, so you had the last four or five groups in the hunt, and then you would create the drama of those five groups coming in. Now, I think that might work against the team stuff and how that would work. Yeah. But this, like, it's for me, trying to do two at the same time for me doesn't work. It doesn't create enough drama.
I don't think we're ever going to get a world where they have like the team events and the individual events.
Yeah,
they
know.
Do for the finals. It's team finals and individual finals.
I think
finals.
The team finals,
and that's good.
I think the team finals last year were good. Mm. I just would like to see, I just don't think.
You just want more of that format.
Either that format, and then I want to have the individual, because I've always watched it. Otherwise, it feels kind of jumpy.
That's fair. But I mean,
I still think the drone footage of where lads are and like,
cool,
behind their head, and you see the shot they're going to play. You can actually go, because you know sometimes, you know if you jump into golf on TV, you need to watch it for about 3, 4, 5 minutes
to figure out what's going on. Yeah.
So if you watch your phone and keep looking up, you're not seeing anything. You're just seeing swings.
Mm.
You might as well be watching swings. But I think with Liv, it's very good because they drive, and I hate watching golf without a ball tracker,
shot tracer.
I can't see where it's going. You're looking at swings. Right, shot tracer, and you go, oh geez, you went a real big cut, whatever. But then when they pull the drone up above it, you go, oh, okay, so
that's where they are on the hole.
So an 8-iron here, geez, he really can't go right. I can see why he's aiming out there. And I think that was really good.
You're going to have words with John Rahm because he was hating the drone on the final day.
John Rahm hates everything.
Well, okay, yeah.
Everything. Okay. Ooh, I want toilets on every... Do you know what? The more I'm thinking of Rahm, the more he annoys me.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's a take, yeah.
Going to live going to live and moaning about it. Like, come on.
Yeah, I think
buying into it, knowing what you're doing, and then you're like and I have more respect for the lads who went, all right, I'm going to live, I'm going to jump in and try and do everything because I've signed the contract, you're paying me loads of money. You can't go and then badmouth it. So that annoys you. And like I every time, actually I said it to someone a while ago who's very fair weather golfer. very, very further. They didn't even realize John Rahm left. So they might like decent golfer, but anyway. He couldn't believe that John Rahm left. He thought I was lying to him because he was like, I thought John Rahm was like real.
I pledged my fealty.
I just didn't get it. So John was annoying me with that. I do have a take. I don't know if it's controversial or not, but I saw it on, I think it was on Twitter. Joachim Niemann is the best golfer in the world right now.
No.
Right now, I think he could be the best golfer in the world.
No.
Who's playing better than him right now? You've already said.
Scottie Scheffler. Like Scottie Scheffler's
putting. Scheffler can't put.
Yeah, but everything else is unbelievable. Doesn't matter.
If they play a match, Niemann would beat him. Niemann beat him and play the match?
Not straight.
Are you joking me?
No.
I think he would. We can't put, man.
Are you honestly? Think Joaquin Niemann is the. We watched him fucking play win his first event. That was such bad golf.
Who's better than him? I'm not taking Scottie Scheffler. Give me someone else that's better than him right now. He's on form. The man is on form. He's probably playing the best he's played.
He's definitely on form. Oh, yeah. I don't disagree with either of those 2 points. He's definitely on form. Definitely playing the best he's ever played.
So who's better than him right now?
I would honestly say John Rahm for me is still better as a Scottie Scheffler. Those two guys are still the best.
So
1-2.
The best, the most informed golfer. And I think if the Masters was starting this Thursday, I'd put money on him.
Not at all. No, no way.
Okay. I also feel I do appreciate winning on LIV. I'm in no way saying it is PGA Tour. I'm not even saying it's Deep World Tour. I think it's different. But winning is hard no matter what. He's won, if you're going to two LIV events, won the Australian Open.
He's not going to do well in the Masters at all. He's played 3 times before. He finished tied for 69th, tied for 40th, and tied for 35th. Like, horses for courses comes into this as well. And that's, I don't think he's definitely not the best player in the world. You were dead right. This is controversial.
Yeah. He played in the Oman, he came third. He won the Australian Open. He was fifth in the Australian PGA. He was fourth. He was fourth in the Hero Dubai Desert Classic. But he still beat Rahm twice.
Yeah,
I know it's LIV. He still beat it. I thought he played really well. I thought he played really well this weekend.
Oof.
I'm looking forward to see what he does at the Masters.
This is gonna be fascinating.
I will happily hold my hands up. If he does absolutely dog crap at the Masters, I hold my hands up and go, I'm off. But this is my point. It's so hard to judge with so many tours who actually it was even difficult when you didn't have lads playing on the PGA Tour. You'd feel deeper. We just don't know who the best is. I think he's at this moment in time, as of whatever, Monday the 4th of March, he has to be up there. Of the players playing the best golf at the moment in the world.
The best.
He's playing the best golf at the moment. He's in that category. And if you're picking it on 2 day, who's playing better golf than he is? Scheffler's a better golfer. Rory's a better golfer. Shane Lowry's a better golfer. I'm not saying they're better golfers. But none of them...
At the moment, no.
At
no,
today none of them are playing the way he is.
Scheffler, I disagree with that. So data golf.
Okay.
Not WGR, because data golf also ranks these players correctly, has Neiman 12th in the world. So it goes Scotty, Xander, Rory, Rahm, Hovland, Cantlay, Morikawa, Fleetwood, Sam Burns, Ludvig Åberg, Homa, then Neiman. Because you got to look at the quality of fields that Neiman's winning against.
Yeah, but, like, yeah, but even...
Like the live stuff, yeah, okay, I think I agree with you. It's hard to gauge. I'd love to see, like, a proper metric. And I'm not a nerd. Like, I'm not a...
We're both... You're more nerdy than I am.
But I'm not like a data nerd of, like,
you,
this is what hit, like, one win on this tour equates to versus another.
You've always loved... like, Luke Donald was the best player in the world for this. Like, you've always looked into stats and rankings, and, like, I would never say, when it's talking about a golfer, oh, he was world number one for this many amount of weeks, I think, where you would look to that when winning tournaments.
For sure, but when it comes to, like, the measurable, like, wins per tournament and stuff like that, that's not anything. It's because I'm still very into like the artistry of sport, you know, like the intangible or immeasurable aspect of an athletic performance.
Okay, yeah.
I'm a big fan of that, and I kind of like the romanticism of that. Whereas, like, they're like, oh, well, his strokes gain and approaches X, Y, Z. I'm like, ugh, not for me. But, like, the quality of players that he's playing against, fair enough, the live stuff. Yeah, he's beaten John Rahm. Yeah, he's beaten Bryson. Yeah, he's beaten Brooks.
Like, Cam Smith, DJ.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, like, we both know.
Yeah,
Cam Smith and DJ.
I'm being a bit facetious.
Are in there just so they can actually go fishing and play golf a couple of times a year. That's honestly why they're playing live.
Yeah.
But, like, so yeah, fair enough. But, like, I know it's a DP World Tour, and I know we're big fans of the DP World Tour, and we purposely try and give it extra coverage compared to other podcasts.
I think it is more enjoyable. I think the characters are actually, I've way more enjoyed DP World Tour characters.
For sure. But if Joaquin Neiman was in the field this week in South Africa, he'd fucking blitz them, because the field's bang average. And it's a similar type of field that was bang average in the Australian Open. Come and tie for third in Oman on an Asian tour field.
Yeah, but, like, there was a good few lads.
Asian tour,
like. I know it was Asian tour, but there was a good few lads
you
in that
qualify
field.
Qualify for Asian tour.
Man,
with that hair going, man, they think you're one of their own.
I can't break 90 in power score, like, let alone do anything else. But, like, yeah, I don't know. I think it's controversial.
It is a controversial take. I agree with you with that.
But I'm something about him. I obviously watched a lot of Liv this weekend, which normally I wouldn't watch that much, and I thought he was really, really good. I was really impressed by him.
Yeah, no, I am too. I will say, I hope he does a Gary Lineker on it, falls over, shits his pants in the first round of the Masters, because you won. Congratulations, you've won twice. You've won three times now in the last 3 months. Just be a winner. Don't go bitching and moaning about it straight away. So I honestly, God, I hope he Gary Linekers himself falls over and craps all over the place.
I don't mind that, because it's better than him saying nothing. He's saying how he feels. He's saying what's really bothering him. And I think you've always said that you give credit to lads that go and play. If I go and give the credit for going playing elsewhere and doing the dirty work as well as that, which he is doing. The only, like, if there was ranking points, and in his mind, even if it was less than the Deep World Tour, or it was equivalent to the Sunshine Tour, equivalent to the Alps, whatever, you know, he's just saying.
Well, definitely won't be equivalent to the Alps.
But you know what I mean?
Just put that one out.
It's got nothing. It's got nothing, and that's what's probably pissing him off. I do think he's playing well, and there's probably a little bit of, like, you know, the villain in him. And imagine, let's just say he won the Masters. What? There would be a big kind of villain.
Think,
and he
I
would
think
be like,
people would need
just
to turn
see
around
what I'm
there.
Saying? Like, his speech would be, just see what I'm saying? And it stops the blandness of some of the lads that are right there.
For sure. I think that's the biggest selling point for Liv, is that, like, it has all the personalities.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that it has Patrick Reed, and Patrick Reed is silent on Liv.
I think that's on purpose. I think they're shutting
ridiculous.
Him up.
Yeah, they're just like,
I think they're not, just be quiet.
Listen, you stop fucking cheating. Shut up. Yeah. Stop cheating.
Yeah, that's why we're not showing you on the TV, because we don't know what you're doing. And we can't have a rule. They probably have a rules official following him around.
Yeah.
You know, just to be sure, because I just don't think they want that for the tour.
Yeah. So, look, I mean, yeah, it would be brilliant to have more people. Like, imagine if like Jake Knapp was like Neiman or someone like that, who was like, yeah, I know I've got my first win, and now, you know, I'm here to take Scotty's place as world number one or something like that. We need a little bit of that on the PGA Tour. We need a lot of that on the PGA Tour, to be honest with you, actually. But just, he's just so moany. Like, it's just, he could have done that. He could have been so much smarter how he did it. He came across like a kid in his early 20s, you know, who's just like, I know everything, you can't tell me otherwise, don't want to hear it from you. Like, that's what I got from that. I was just like, oh man, like, shut the fuck up and play golf.
What's your opinion on the whole Anthony Kim?
I never really remember any of it at the time. So he hasn't, like, 12 years ago.
There's a reaction like he's Tiger, and I do appreciate some people probably love him and they're big, but to me it's completely irrelevant.
So yeah, I think
I don't remember much about him. No. I don't remember. I don't remember oh, he's gone, or I remember watching him. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, he seemed like this bit more of like an enigma, and that was probably his biggest selling point. You know, is like, now he's broken the, like, he shattered the glass.
Yeah,
he's human now. He's shown that he is human by coming dead last. Firstly, like, it's not a miraculous return if you don't do really well, and he didn't do really well. That for me was just like,
ugh. Yeah. The thing about it is, it's people, and people probably have the love of him. Like, I would say, I have the love for Tiger, and I think
he wasn't that good. He won three times. No, I know. Like, he wasn't that good a player.
No, I know that, and like, but there's lads just get in you that like. It's like the John Daly, like, you know, John Daly was, okay, he smashes the ball, whatever, but people just love him.
Yeah, but,
you know, yeah. And I don't have that for Anthony Kim. No. The fact he was there did nothing for me. But I think the same thing is if you're one of the people that would liked Anthony Kim and it got you going, it must be really cool to see him back. You know, if Tiger was gone for so long and he popped up out of nowhere.
Mm.
To me, it'd be unbelievable.
Yeah, I think so.
But to me, Anthony,
if he explained
him.
Where he's been, because
I'm going to tell my story. You know, yeah,
how many times are you going to give Anthony Kim that opportunity before he actually, you know, tells a story? Like, you've watched him play three rounds of golf. Sorry,
I don't think there's much of a story.
Well, he had this life insurance policy against an injury they got, and so essentially this injury he got was apparently career ending.
And also, I don't think there's. Did you see like he where he had to go with the haters? I don't think anyone hates Anthony Kim.
I've never ever heard anyone say a bad word about Anthony Kim.
So, but then again,
we hear so many stories about everyone, but like, oh, Anthony Kim, he was this mythical person, and he was amazing, and he's like the antithesis of Tiger, and that's why we loved him, and played in the Ryder Cup, and was class.
See, to me, cool. That's Phil. Phil was your Tiger of Phil.
Yeah,
and like, and I, yeah, and I actually kind of like Phil. Even though he says most outrageous stuff and his whole thing with Liv, I have a soft spot for Phil.
That's because the outrageous, like, we need more outrageous. Yeah,
knocking the putt when it's moving and stuff. Like,
that was kind of cool.
Even when he won, when he won the PGA again, I thought it was gas because he's like, he's just going to throw shade at people and have cuts. Yeah.
I never bought into the Anthony Kim thing. I think if he doesn't, like, what they should have done is, like, basically do a little mini documentary about like where he's been and interplay that throughout the broadcast so that people like us who are like, I don't know a huge amount about him, why should I care? Rather than just seeing him make another bogey putt and another bogey and another bogey, you're like, why should I care about this has been?
Yeah, but see, again, I didn't say that about Tiger when Tiger shanked and stuff. I was like, it's fine. I'd ignore it. So if people have that Anthony Kim is their Tiger, I can see why.
But he's not Tiger. And Tiger won the Masters.
Whatever. Yeah, well, that comeback.
You know, and the year before that, he won the Tour Championship. Like,
yeah.
Like, Tiger's comeback was actually a comeback.
Yeah.
You know?
He's not human.
Yeah. He didn't come anywhere near dead last. He's probably smart enough to withdraw from the event due to an injury just to save face.
You've said that. I'm not saying you're not wrong, but... Bryson seems to it's so hard, and I know it's coming from recently biased because I watched Liv because I couldn't watch DP World Tour, but Bryson's playing well.
Yeah,
you know, interesting when it comes into the major season.
I could see Bryson contending for the PGA in Valhalla this year.
Yeah.
Like, for me, he could win a major. He could win another major. He should win another major this year. I'm gonna put it out there. I know that we didn't put him as our major picks this year at all.
So you think PGA?
Do you know what? Given off their current form, I obviously backed Hovland to do this.
Yeah.
Given off their current form, yeah, I think Bryson probably did it before Hovland would.
Yeah, I don't. It's worrying. Hovland's worrying, and I don't know if the silence is a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah. Bryson is playing golf. Good golf. I think he probably should win the PGA. I agree with you. I like that gear as well. The Crushers gear is pretty cool. It's just like, it's what the name says, Crushers. It's a little angry little golf ball and golf tees. I like it.
So if you had to buy some gear, what gear would you wear?
Oh, man, Stinger till I die.
Would you go polo hat? What would you load?
I might go full team kit and just get the hat and the t-shirt.
You wouldn't wear it.
I'd have to. I would.
That's more embarrassing than my mullet, I think, if you in full team gear.
I had plans to go to a live event this year, probably just one workout, because everyone listening at this point or the next day or two, you'll know why. We're going to be very busy this year, so yeah. I won't get to go to the live event.
I really want to as well.
We should try go. We should try go.
I think we also need to go because you need to. I think people would like to know if it's like it is on TV and can hear the music, or is it just like once you get there, is it just a golf tournament? Like, you know, like do you know?
Yeah, is it actually the big
I also think you could sit in one spot because it's a shotgun start. You could see a lot. Like, do you know what I mean? It would be fast moving as well. from a spectator from a spectator's view, if you're actually live there.
I'll tell you what. This is just like we're doing this live, right? July 12th to 14th. So I've got a really good friend's wedding on the 13th. So we can't do the 13th. But would you want to go for a practice day and round one in Live Golf Valderrama?
I've been to Valderrama. Valderrama's sick. Sergio's favorite in Valderrama. It's funny it's in Valderrama because Valderrama's such a classy golf course.
Yeah.
It's real like...
And like, so a couple of reasons why I'm suggesting the Andalusian one. I feel like it's the one that John Rahm would really get up for.
Yeah.
You know, like it's the one Spanish event on the calendar. It's his event, basically. Him and Sergio, they'll make a thing of it. Like they'll play together in the first two rounds or whatever, to like really hammer home the Spanishness. That could be a good event. I think we should try to go to the practice.
I think Queen Liv would be a good one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll do it. Anyone that else wants to come along to that?
Second stag party for you. We'll go to Liv in Andalusia.
This is a very serious golf trip. This is a work trip. Like, okay.
Oh yeah, sorry, Megan. This is a work. It's not a junket.
Anyway, so tickets for the Friday, which is round one, the 12th of July in Valderrama, €167 per person.
That's what they call the Birdie Shack.
The Birdie Shack. The Birdie Shack is the best atmosphere in golf, offering live music all day and three drinks per ticket. If you want to hear an electric Spanish crowd roaring on their heroes, this is the place. Great location, over the 9th green, three drinks, Spanish wines, beers, canned cocktails or soft drinks per ticket. Party atmosphere right from shotgun, an ideal spot for a stag party, a weekend in the sun, or a golf day with your friends. So yeah, we'll have a look. We'll see if we can get to Valderrama. You and me, we can watch the apparent best player in the world and Joaquin Neiman play. Okay, so listen, let's move into drip watch, right? So we've spoke about it a little bit already. What gear do I like? I'm a big fan of the Stinger's gear. Let's start off with the Live gear. What do you like? It's definitely more modern than what you see on your average PGA Tour stuff.
Yeah, I like the Four Aces stuff. That's
DJ's team.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I think it's kind of classy, yet it's still kind of a little bit more...
It's kind of baseball-y modern. In its style.
Yeah, it can be, yeah.
I get that.
I think DJ wears it well.
The Majestic stuff for me is just, that's ridiculous. After the Range Goats, the Majestic stuff just looks brutal.
Yeah, they've got this floral one on the four aces that DJ has.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's nice.
I think DJ stuff. I'd like to think DJ kind of helped design it, maybe, or maybe, I don't know.
Would you think DJ's a dab hand on the old fashion design, do you?
I think there's definitely part of him. I think he's a fashionable dude.
Pollyanna maybe.
I will say I did like Eric Van Rooyen's joggers.
He's a very fashionable man, isn't he?
He's pinky maroon joggers. He looked really well.
He brought the joggers onto the tour before anyone else. He was a pioneer when it came to golf fashion. I remember when he first came out with the joggers, because he did it on the DP World Tour first. And then when he came over to the States, the commentators were like, oh, God, like he used to go up a size or two in the trousers. You can see the ankles there. And you're just like, that's the point. Yeah. Yes.
Billy Horschel looked horrendous.
Did he?
God, he had like a striped polo that like the colors didn't match. And then he wore those old granddaddy shoes.
Okay.
The
Fajoy ones.
No, they're like periwinkle. They're like periwinkle old school.
Yeah,
shoes.
I think they're Fajoys.
They were dreadful.
he needs to get himself some G4s.
But, man, definitely. And then Knapp, the penguin stuff. Knapp looked cool. He had this kind of gray polo on. I think it was Saturday he had it on. So cool. I'm a big, big fan of that penguin stuff.
I think you should be getting into that penguin gear. If you got the mullet, like, it sounds like you're into the Cam Smith, Jake Knapp look. Like, you're trimmer now, you're slimmed down a little bit, you're looking good. You can pull off the penguin gear.
I might have to give it a shot.
You've got the mangy mullet, start growing that mustache, penguin gear.
Has your handlebar mustache or something, yeah.
I think it's a good look for you. I think you can pull it off.
Yeah, I think the penguin tops are really kind of cool. I definitely want to have a kind of look at them.
Mm. Anything to jump out to you as,
Just with this thing out, I got this email today and it just got me absolutely so giddy for the Masters, right?
Okay.
So it came in from the Masters and I was like, what? Like, I'm obviously on a list, right?
You're on a mailing list, right?
Yeah, right. I came in, it was just called Taste of the Masters, now available. I was like, what the hell is this? So they...
Oh yeah, I heard about this.
So you can buy a classic kit for the Masters.
Yeah,
okay?
If you live in the States, yeah.
So... even States. So this is $100 with free shipping, okay? In the States. And this serves 4 to 6 guests. You've got the pimento cheese in a big tub to make pimento cheese sandwiches. You get 6 packs of Masters potato chips, 6 Masters moon pies. You get 12 Masters cups that say 2024 on them.
Oh.
You get Masters branded wax paper. You get 12 Masters coasters.
Wax paper is just like, that's just packaging.
Yeah, we got 12 sheets of that. And then you get all these other kind of little materials as well. So the only thing you need to add are the bread and the buns. And I was like, am I really sick in the head that I want to pay the $100 for that?
I mean, it definitely doesn't ship. They can ship food from the States to Ireland.
Like, and there's another one. There's a second one. There's a larger kit that has like pork barbecue, chocolate chip cookies, the Georgia pecan caramel popcorn. For that was $180. And I was like, it just to me, like, I got that email and I was like, they know we're all sick in the head when it comes to like Master stuff.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to go and buy it.
So I think what we should do is we should make our own version of those. Have a little watch party, just you and me.
Yeah,
just
but you don't
Masters.
Get the cups though. You know, you see the lads with the cups that are all... you see the lads with the cups when they're watching this and it's got the Masters logo on it. Like, the cups are cool.
Yeah, but...
I don't even know if I like pimento cheese, but I just want to try it anyway.
Let me see. Can you buy the Masters, like... Cups, the Masters.
See, the reasons I thought you couldn't buy all this stuff unless you were at the Masters. So that's when I got the email. I was like, I didn't realize they were sending this stuff out, because I thought definitely the cups were for the patrons at when you go to Augusta. So this email kind of like, it just to me, it was, I was getting that my nerdiness was completely coming out. Like, the stuff probably sucks. Like, the crisps, they're probably terrible crisps. Like, But they just come in the Masters bag.
Needless to say, you're getting excited for the Masters.
I love Masters. Like, I prefer the Masters to the Open. I'd rather win the Masters than win the Open.
For a man who thinks national opens are everything, that is a ridiculous. That's nearly as controversial as your Neiman take.
I saw this TikTok. This podcast is going down weird places. But this TikTok, and it was this guy having a nap on the couch, and he wakes up. And
it was Gary Clark from Good Girl. Yeah,
And I was like, I don't have any interest in any type of gardening or flowers.
Okay.
My garden will have 1,000 azaleas.
I tried to convince my wife to plant those too. Yeah, and she was like, why would we plant azaleas in the garden? I was like, we get the putting green, and then behind it would be the pink flowers. My garden would be like Augusta. I was
like, there's loads of things. No phones. They're called patrons. You know, there is the white jumpsuit. Like, there's so much about it is just incredible. You're the master champion, and then you know the dinner, the champion. Like, we could should we go into detail on what the Masters when we do a preview of the Masters. But I love the Masters, and to me, I'd trade two majors for a Masters. If you offer me the Open and the PGA Championship, ooh, or the Masters, I'd take the Masters.
The U.S. Open and the PGA, I can agree with that. But the Open, man.
It's the Masters.
But you're the Open champion.
You're the master. You're the master of golf.
Master of golf.
And you get a green jacket, and you go back every year. You go back, and it's like, we've spoken with this before. I love the kind of history of golf and going into old clubhouses. Like, we were in Lahinch. I'd say I spent about an hour just walking around looking at every photo, every plaque on the wall. We sat in the changing room for ages. You know, I love all that. I love the poshness.
The prestige around it all, and the
rule. And Masters just has it all. Now, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love the Open, and I love going into the idea of the belt. You know, and Harry Vardon and stuff, yeah. But the Masters. So that's why when I got that.
We should do a little something ourselves just for the Masters, just to make it exciting. On like the Saturday night, because obviously you've school and work the Monday afterwards. So doing it on the Sunday is not really that much fun. But
I know, I just sleep on the couch all night, and I drift off and watch.
Whereas on the Saturday, make it a bit of a party. Have a bit of fun, you know. Make it a party. It'll just be you and me and my wife just there, like, this is so boring.
Yeah. And us just look at the flowers.
Yeah. We could have had that in our garden. Yeah. Look at that, we could have had those. Any other business then? I think that's kind of it, apart from getting into the bet of the week, really.
Yeah, and I'm one day formal apology from a Mr. Tom McKibben. I was on such a good run. Winning. Picked him last week. Everything was going good guns until he... Was it double bogey, triple bogey, double bogey?
Double bogey.
I had him as a top 10, double bogey, you know, coming 12th then. Was just the 12th? Yeah, Tom, come on. I was devastated because I thought I kept watching, like, I was refreshing the app and I was watching him and everything was going really good guns. Obviously, I really wanted him to win as well, but he was so solid the whole time. Like, obviously, it reminded me of like teletext. Remember the old teletext for football results? Mm-hmm. And because I couldn't watch it, I was just refreshing the app. But God, a double bogey killed me on
the bet. Yeah, the double bogey 5 on the par 3 17th was tough. But I, on the other hand, was the complete opposite side of it. I had Tristan Lawrence. He came out of like relatively nowhere, to be honest.
Yeah, because he wasn't going great.
He was not going well at all. So he started off even par, one over through round one. But then, like, honestly, had a good weekend. 69, 67 on the weekend. But like, he just caught fire. It seemed like he was two under through the front nine, and then followed it up with another 3 under on the back line with a bogey on 18 to finish tied for 10th. On the number, 7 under par in total. I was thrilled. because now I've closed the gap on you a little bit in our bet of the week.
But especially because I've lost a fiver, you've gained. It's like a two-shot swing.
Yes, exactly. So I guess for anyone that's keeping track, that now means that in the bet of the week, Michael, you're up 69.50 in total. That's healthy. Also, mm-hmm. 69, we like that. And I am now up €16. So we closed the gap a little bit, but there's still a healthy lead there on your on your side. Pretty good margin. Like I was saying to you last week, Tristan Lawrence, South Africans do well on South African courses, disproportionately well to the number of events that are in South Africa. South Africans do very well on.
But the South Africans are very proud of their country. I think they really kind of get themselves motivated and get going. They really want to win at home.
Yeah.
Also, a really good week for a friend of the pod who I think listened to you have a cut off him. Yeah. I tried to defend the poor guy, but you know, you went for the tough love, you know, and I think he probably appreciated that.
Listen, Dan Brown, listen, if you're listening, which I really hope you are, that would be great. I called him out. I said he's been having a bad few weeks, to be fair. He missed like three cuts in a row.
Mm.
He finished tied for fourth, his best result for a while. And that includes even actually finishing shooting three over on the final round. So he actually
was leading. He would have been early?
in the hunt. But look, listen.
We're not saying it's cause you called him out or it was a podcast bounce, whatever, but it's good. It was good to see.
Yeah, no, it was. Always nice to see himself doing very well. And seeing all of the friends of the pod doing very well. Moving on to the Johnson Workwear Open in South Africa. Michael, I'll let you go first, considering you took a bit of an L last week.
Yeah, this is an interesting one because it's a co-sanctioned event with the Sunshine Tour. We were kind of going through the odds, and it's definitely like by no way a stacked field. By no way, it's not great. But there is loads of lads. If you run through, I think any golfer, any person that's a fan of golf was watching the last 5-6 years. You run through the leaderboard before it starts. There's a lot of names jump out at you to go, oh yeah, he was great.
He used to be a player. Yeah.
I think this could be a tournament that there's about 7-8 lads could win this to really kickstart their careers again.
Okay.
That could go through. So I'll be really.
So really you want to see like Rafa Cabrera Bello, Joost Luiten, those kind of guys coming back?
Yeah, I'd love to see like those guys come through.
Adrian Naus, I can understand that.
So my pick's gonna be Conor Syme. I think he's put himself in. What?
I'm just laughing. You're picking the kid who you were saying was in a school uniform wearing shorts the other week.
yeah, he shouldn't wear shorts. Like that should be easy. He shouldn't wear shorts. Like he's very like he's a Scot, he's a Scot. Like if you wore a kilt now playing, I'll be all in on it. I'm gonna go Conor Syme for a
top 10.
But even going through like there's lads that need kind of look like it, like Dan Bradbury, Robin, Tiger Williams, Andy Sullivan. There's like lads of people know, the Alvera brothers, Norgaard, Darius Vandreel, Dylan Fratelli.
What's your point?
My point is that there's a win for, like, in the guys that I said, a win for those lads, kind of like, they're all really top golfers. I think those lads are really, really good golfers. And there's little things that haven't just fallen their way, haven't got them back into where they are. And a win here could be unbelievable for them. And I think there's an opportunity here for kind of a stacked leaderboard for lads of a second chance. And I'm actually really looking forward to kind of scanning through the leaderboard as this term keeps going on, because there's a few lads I think it could really reignite. Maybe they're reignite their career, maybe it's a little bit too harsh, but somewhere where you go going, geez, he's actually a really good golfer. I remember watching him playing in big deep world tour events and stuff. Now, having said that, if you are not a kind of golf nerd that's watching every week, you mightn't like this. You is not a tournament for you and you have no interest in it. And I do get that. But for guys that have been like keeping up with it, I think it could be really interesting storylines for a few lads coming back from the brink. Like Dylan Fratelli winning a while ago when you know he had a big dip, and you know, hopefully things are now on the up for him.
Yeah, that's very fair. I'm backing Dan Bradbury. So top 20 for a fiver at 15-8, potential to returns of 14-37. Again, I'm just playing the kind of just chipping away at your lead. That's all I'm trying to do here. Dan's been in solid enough form now for the last few weeks. He's been kind of racking up the top 20s. So for me, that's the solid play. I don't think he really likes South African golf from what I've been tracking anyway. Yeah, he's also just coming off of a week off, so he didn't play in last week's event either. So I'm hoping a little bit of a break, and he's gonna do well here. I like him.
I think this week's gonna be nice because the Johnson Worker Open is on Sky Sports. It's on the main event, so it's kind of starts like at around 10, and then you've got the Arnold Palmer Invitation. I like the Arnold Palmer Invitation. Same. I love the jacket. I think
the cardigan thing.
If I was a golfer, it would be one I'd want to win. If I was a golfer and you were like having your trophy room, you definitely want to have the cardigan in your trophy room.
Yeah.
I mean, also, I'm a big Arnold Palmer guy.
Arnie's great.
I prefer Arnie to Jack.
Let's say what? We've been here for a while. Let's put that off until next week. And so we'll give a good deep dive into Arnold Palmer, into why he's great, why you personally like him over Jack. I think he's brilliant. And tell you what we might do, right? Is we might even make a few Arnold Palmers.
Sounds like a plan.
And that's what we'll do. Have a couple of Arnold Palmers. Arnold Palmer's just iced tea and lemonade. So it's not anything alcoholic. But yeah, we'll have a couple of Arnold Palmers. We'll talk about the tournament, talk about hopefully Shane Lowry winning this week. And why you are part of Arnie's army. All right. Listen, guys, that's it for this week. Keep an eye on our socials and pretty much everywhere. Like I was saying, we have a pretty big announcement coming pretty soon. Very excited for that. And we will see you in the next episode.
On the tee, Jack Nicklaus.
This is the minute the millions around the world have waited for.
We will allow you to enjoy all of this. They are dancing in the pubs of Dublin. Harrington with an ace.
And we have a shining star at sunset. Rory continues his run to greatness.
The return to glory.